Isaiah chapter 2, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, concerning us all concerning Judah and Jerusalem, shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above all the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. Many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, remember, as we're reading this, verse number 2 says, It shall come to pass in the last day. Right? In the last day. The last days begin when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Amen? The last days begin. We're living, believe it or not, in some of the last days. Not the very last day, but we're living in some of the last days.
Right.
The Bible says perilous times will come. Men will wax worse and worse. And they have absolutely waxed worse and worse. But we haven't seen the tip of the iceberg of what it's going to be. Verse 4, ye shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man bows down, and the great man humbles himself, therefore forgive them not. Verse 10, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Let's stop reading verse number 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you give us. Father, to be in your house, thank you for your love. Father, thank you for your grace, Lord, and your mercy. I pray, God, tonight you speak through me, use me, Father, and help me, Father. I pray to say that's well pleasing in your sight. Help me, Lord, to speak clearly. Illuminate this mind, Father, I do pray. Help me to say those things, Father, that's well pleasing, Lord, tonight. I pray for every hearer, Lord, tonight, the Word of God will pierce their hearts, and Lord, we can understand the sayings, Lord, and understand the Scripture, Lord, tonight. We can apply it to our life. I pray, God, we can leave here, say it has to be good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach. And Lord, to worship tonight and to gather together as friends in unity, as believers, Lord, tonight, as a family of God. Lord, thank you for allowing us to have this privilege. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we do pray. Amen and amen. As we begin looking in chapter number 2, we looked in chapter number 1 and we see the rebellion of Israel, Judah, how they have turned from God and left the things of God, and some of them are going through the motions, but yet their heart's not in it. God said, that makes me sick.
Yeah.
Your heart's not in it. You're going through the motions. You're doing what seems to be right, but it's out of the will of God because that's not the way I want you to do it. You have the wrong motive. You have the wrong motivation in the things you're doing. So the prophet raises the subject of the last days here in chapter number 2, and especially that of the day of the Lord. Both the millennium blessings as well as God's judgment upon Israel are in view in chapter number 2. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, as noted in chapter 1, little is known about Isaiah's background other than who his father was and his father's name. But here we find that he makes clear the focus of this aspect of his ministry. It was directed toward Judah and Jerusalem. God had a plan and God had a purpose for Isaiah. God had a message for Isaiah to preach. Amen. In this chapter, we find the glory of Israel is the theme. Isaiah looks forward to the last days, speaking of those days of the Lord. Verse 2, the Bible says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. The phrase last days refers to the day of the Lord. You'll find it in many of the minor prophets and the prophets throughout the Bible mention the day of the Lord. His day is coming. Amen. The day of the Lord speaks of the wrath of God.
Right.
It's speaking of God's judgment. The day of the Lord. It's coming. Amen. We find that that day when Jesus Christ seizes the reins of human government to establish His kingdom on this earth. The word mountain signifies governments and throne the cities, and Jerusalem will be the city of the great king. In that day, Jerusalem will be exalted above all cities. In that day, all the nations will flow unto Jerusalem. It'll be the city that everybody goes to. Amen? That they'll go into. It'll be an exalted city. And it'll be the place where Jesus Christ will reign. This is the time of universal rule of Jesus Christ, when all nations will submit to His rule. Jerusalem will become the capital city of the earth, and all nations will flow unto it to worship. This will be fulfilled literally in the coming age after God's present church age is over.
Right.
It's not going to happen until the church is gone. Amen?
Right.
You and I don't go through tribulation.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We don't go through the tribulation. The church is raptured out, and once the church is raptured out, then the day of the Lord begins. Well, the day of the Lord is already, the last day is here, but the day of the Lord begins when the church is wrapped up, and has come to, the church age has come to an end. He is now, as James points out in Acts chapter 15, verse number 14, visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. In the church age now, here's what Acts chapter 15, verse 13 says, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, whom to hold these things. Now, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ now is dealing with the Gentiles. You and I are known as Gentiles.
Right.
Amen. We find that the door is open for us as Gentiles during this church age dispensation to set the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to be a part of the bride of Christ. There's coming an end to that day, amen? There's coming an end of that age, and whenever that end is over with, there will not be a second chance for those that heard the gospel message.
Right.
There will never be, amen, there will never be a second part of the bride. The bride's made up, the bride is gone.
Right.
There's a lot of teaching in our day that says there will be a second chance after the church is raptured out. They will have an opportunity to come to know the Lord as their Savior. Now, there will be opportunity for the tribulation saints to know the Lord, they will not be a part of the bride. Because the bride's gone. Amen? So we find here that Isaiah comes and he's preaching his message in verse 4, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, in that day, the Lord will be the Lord over all the earth. You know when that's going to be? In the millennial reign of Christ. You know what a millennium is? It's a period of 1,000 years. We studied math and numbers this week, and I know what a millennium is. I knew that before class. It's a 1,000-year reign of the Lord. And during that 1,000-year reign of the Lord, there'll be no war.
Right.
There'll be no wars. Nation won't fight against nation. Look what your Bible says. Verse number 4. In that day, the day of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ reigns, He shall judge among all nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, they're going to use their war weapons for domestic use.
Yeah.
To dig in the garden, plant flowers, amen? They're not going to be fighting. What a day that's going to be, amen? When the earth doesn't know anything about war. The Prince of Peace needs his control, and peace will prevail on the earth. It will be Christ, amen, not the United Nations. It will be Christ that brings worldwide peace as never before. It will be Christ that takes control of the government, amen, and rules and reigns, and all nations will listen to Him. They may think they're ruling and reigning, they're going to have control forever, but I got some news for them. There's coming somebody way better than they whose shoe latches John said, I'm not even worried, it's loose.
Right.
He's coming. Verse number 5, the Bible says, with that glorious vision in view, the prophet cries, yes, says, O house of Jacob, but come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The focus here is to the generation of Isaiah. Having seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, the coming kingdom of God, the coming kingdom of God in the day of the Lord, that Isaiah cries out for his people to walk in the light of the Lord, walk in the ways of their God. Do it now, amen. Walk in the paths of Jehovah. Not walk in man's path, but walk in the paths of Jehovah. Walk in His light, amen. Let Him direct your paths and do what is pleasing to the Lord. As I said in the beginning of this, there's many people that think they're doing things for the Lord, but they're not being obedient unto God.
Right.
There's one thing to do something for the Lord and doing it with the right motive and with the right heart. As these people were going through the motions and their heart was not in what they're doing, they're just doing it for a scene, just doing it to make themselves look good.
Amen.
And that wasn't pleasing unto the Lord. And Isaiah is preaching to them and says, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us follow the words of God and be obedient unto Him and let the Lord bless us.
Right.
Amen. As the Apostle Paul, as he obeyed the Lord, God blessed him. As he went and preached the gospel where God told him to go preach it, God blessed him. God got him out of prison. God saved him from the stripes and healed his stripes. And listen, God didn't allow him to take his life. Amen. But whenever he got out of the will of God, doing what he thought was a good thing, and did what he wanted to do in his heart instead of being obedient to the Lord, you'll find that the Apostle Paul finds himself dying in Jerusalem. Here Isaiah is preaching and pleading with his people. Notice with me the opening verses of chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. They're almost identical now. This is amazing literacy of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everybody hear that? We believe in the authorized King James Bible. Amen? And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible does not contradict itself.
Right.
In the Bible is the truth of the Word of God. Amen. The Bible is the truth. Amen. It doesn't contain the truth. It is the truth.
Right.
All right. Is everybody with me? Now, verse 2 through 4 is nearly identical to Micah chapter number 4, verse 1 through 3. Let me read it to you. If you want to turn there, you can. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, into the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and He shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords and plowshares, and their spears and their pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken. It's amazing how Isaiah said something that is of the Lord. He said, thus saith the Lord. And then Micah says, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. You know what that is? That's two witnesses. Y'all know much about your Bible? Anytime anything had to be proven, it had to be proven by two witnesses. And God says, when He's dealing with the church, take a witness, amen, and prove the matter in the presence of two or three witnesses, it shall be established. Here we have two witnesses that have witnessed and said, this is what the Lord has said. This thing is going to happen. Amen. And from the mouth of the Lord. I'm telling you, it's amazing how God puts this together. Here's what H.A. Ironside says. He said, there's no need to think that there was a mistake in transferring the words of one prophet to the book of another prophet. But rather it is evidence that one spirit inspired each writer. It is a double testimony, and it is an added assurance that the thing spoken cannot fail. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, the Bible says, one witness shall not rise against the man for any iniquity, for any sin, and in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. Well, preacher, what does that mean? Why are you so excited? Because God's going to keep His word. In the mouth of two witnesses, God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Amen? There's no way that God can lie, because God don't lie. That's not one of His attributes. But when He says it by one prophet, somebody might doubt what He said, or might not be real sure that He meant what He said, or meant those words. But whenever two of them say it, it's the status, it's going to happen. God's going to keep His word. Now, I'm not doubting the word of God. I don't misunderstand what I just said in my analogy. But I'm saying whenever there's two witnesses that witness that, it's going to take place. The developing context makes it clear that Israel had no interest in what Isaiah had to say. They had no interest in the God of Isaiah. Therefore, verse number 6, therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers by the Philistines. And the Bible says that they feed themselves in the children of strangers. Clearly that is implied here in the days of Isaiah that God has forsaken the Israel. God will not, hear me tonight, God will not dwell with sin.
Right.
Doesn't do that. My mind goes back to Christ upon the cross. And Jesus Christ Himself said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now God didn't forsake His Son, but God will not dwell where sin is. And on the cross, I'm about ready to have myself a Baptist kitchen fit. On the cross, Christ was dying for all the sins of mankind.
Right.
And God will not look upon sin. And so we find here that Isaiah is trying to get the message across that God will not dwell where sin is. We wonder sometimes why so many Christians, believers, why their life is in such a sadness. It's because God will not dwell where sin is.
Right. Right.
Yes, sir.
If they're doing things for the pat on the back, if they're doing things to make it look good, God's not interested. Amen? How many of you seen the article from News 12? Just right up the road, a Baptist church has a Baptist pastor who's now been fired, which he should have probably been fired a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I'm above sin. I'm not. You're not above sin. Everybody is capable of committing sinful acts.
Right.
Hello. Is everybody with me? Everybody, I don't care who you are, the Bible says, in the book of Romans, and we talked about this a few weeks back, the Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than what you all think.
Right.
Amen. Everybody's capable of committing an act. But here's this one individual that has been doing this over and over and over and over. And he got caught. God's not pleased with it. Amen. What about that church as the senior pastor? What about that church didn't have the blessings of God? But just because they've got to be banking, don't think God's blessed. I'd rather be in the will of God with an empty bank account than be in a mess and have a full bank account. Amen? I'd rather be with God than be in the will of God, to pleading and begging God to supply everything we need, living by faith, than have a bank account full of money and not have the presence of God in the house of God.
Amen.
I'd just rather have God.
Amen.
I'd just soon to have God.
Amen.
Amen. I was talking to an individual this week, and I try really hard not to be a storytelling preacher, but sometimes I just need to tell the story. I was talking to a gentleman this week, and we were discussing money. And the subject came up about funds and money and stuff like that, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, it has to do with my job. And the subject of money comes. And the subject of the church comes up. And they said, well, how's the church taking care of us? It ain't none of your business. Amen? I said, it ain't the church that takes care of me. It's God that takes care of me. And they couldn't understand that. I said, I don't understand what you mean. I said, God knows every need that I have. God knows every desire of my heart. Amen? And God takes care of me.
Amen.
So what are you going to do with the situation that if the church can't take care of you? I said, son, I didn't go there for the money to start with. Y'all can always say amen when I say it. Amen?
Amen.
We didn't come for the money. Amen? I said, son, it ain't about the money.
Right.
It's about the will of God.
Amen.
Amen? Whenever you're in the will of God, you don't have to worry about money. That works right there. Amen. When you're in the will of God, you don't have to worry about the money. Amen. So if you had $1,000 life, you're worth God and got that. Somebody say amen up there. Hey, listen, we had a $600-something life bill last month. Amen. It come down with it. Amen. And God's taking care of the bees.
Right.
When you are in the will of God, God will bless you and take care of your needs.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Joe's right there. It's not about the money. The missionaries, when they come and they stand behind the pulpit and they begin to talk about the money, I dismiss that missionary and I'm not interested in supporting them because they're in it for the money.
Right.
Now, understand in mind, the Bible teaches us we're to take care of our own. Amen. And I don't want to rob you of a blessing. And God teaches you to take care of your man of God. And you ought to do that to be obedient to the Word of God. I'm not trying to say you shouldn't do that. But it's not a fact. Amen. Amen. Alright, we got that, sir. Everybody good? Everybody okay? Say amen.
Amen.
You're talking about money in the Baptist church. People get all tightened up. They don't want to say amen. But a missionary comes and they said it before. So they get to talk about the money. And we know that it takes money. We're not idiots. I mean, we're not eating. Amen. We know that it takes money. It takes money for you to live. It takes money for us. It takes money to keep the lights on at the house of God. Everybody knows that. If you're a member of the here at Midway Baptist Church, you know that we can't run the lights, run the heat, run the air without money.
Right.
You can't do it at home. You certainly can't do it here. This place is huge.
Right.
Amen. We can't do that. Everybody knows that it takes money to do that. But it's not about the money. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Well, preacher, I'm a little confused. You say we need money, but it's not about money. No, if you're right with God, money won't be an issue.
Right.
When that offer plate comes by, you won't be mad at it.
Right.
I didn't plan on preaching on giving tonight, but here it is. When the offer plate comes by, you won't say, let the damn offer again. You praise God, we have an opportunity to give again.
Right.
Amen. That's the attitude we'll have if we're right with God. Now, I've seen people, not here, but I've seen people in the past, they've passed off and lately turned their head like they're reading the Bible. Who are you fooling? We know you're not reading your Bible.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because they don't want to give. Like, listen, hold your head up high so you ain't got nothing to give and just praise God. Amen?
Right.
But listen, we have to have it to live. We have to have it to function. We have to have it to do the will of God. It takes funds to do so.
Right.
And so when missionaries come and we listen to them, they present the ministry and they ask us to pray. I'm interested in what they got to say. The first one gets behind the pulpit and says, well, we got to have it. I'm not going to be too critical, but I'll be a little critical. A lot of Filipino missionaries, that's the first thing they want to do is tell you how much money they need every month, how much money they need every week.
Right.
how much money they got to have. And every time they ever come, everyone ever listens to me at the same number. Y'all live in the same house or what? Anyway, I'm not interested in that. That missionary comes and says, would you pray that God will supply our needs? That Brother Howard Allison, whenever he came, he began to tell us about it. I'm talking a great presentation of the ministry that God has gave him. And they never one time said anything about how much money they need. But he said, we're trying to buy a building. And this is how much money we need. Would you pray? Help us pray that God will supply the need. Amen.
Right.
And afterwards we did that. And God would supply the need. The first percentage they had to have, they made it. And then we're doing the second percentage. And God's going to meet the need. I'm sure of it. What I'm trying to get us to understand tonight and deal with giving and money. I don't know why I'm on that, but I am. I guess God just wants me to preach on money. But whenever we're in the will of God and we're doing the will of God, we don't just go through the motions. Some people just like to throw a dollar in the offering plate and come back and say, pour out the dollar bill. You know why there was a money shortage? Because all the Baptists had the dollar. Don't tell nobody I said it. But anyway, we wear out the dollar bill. Come on. Amen. But I've seen people, they give, so, and they look around and see who's watching. When they put the money. Look what I did. They just keep it.
Yeah.
Amen? Just keep it. You have the wrong move. Whenever we get in tune with God, Isaiah has preached his heart out in the chapter 1. We didn't get through chapter 2. And he's given us some inclination of the future, what's going to happen. The day of the Lord is coming. And he's pleading with his people to get in tune with God. You are the blessings of God on earth. The children of Israel was going to the world and the worldly things and the pagan things and participating in all the ungodliness of the world, trying to please their self and please their inner being.
Yeah.
And it was away from God and at the will of God, and the blessings of God was not on Israel, was not on them because of what they were doing. I want us to understand it. I'm hoping you get a hold of this. It's really not me. Sometimes I think that everybody knows what I know. Until I get to look at the business of weather. They obviously don't know what I know because if they did, they wouldn't do that. And I wonder sometimes why people do that. And they name the name of Christ and they do that. Why would you do that? And for an example, the guy that sits in the class this week, he said a few foul words in class. One of our other guys that works with me is in the class, and he said a couple words this week too, and I'm keeping a tab on him. He owes me some money already. He told me today, he said, I know I owe you some money, so I'm just going to get you a gift card. Don't give me no gift card, just quit talking like that. But the guy that takes the class this week, he said some words, and I'm listening to the guys in the class as they talk, and some of them are using language that I don't like to hear. And I'm sitting there wondering, I wonder how many of these proclaim or say they're saved. But yet the filth is coming out of their mind. Sweet water and bitter water don't come out at the same time. Amen?
Right.
So anyway, this gentleman had said something about his church, and when the break time, he mentioned something about his church. And then another guy said over on the other side, he said something about, well, our church does this and that and this and that and that and this and that. My soul. Talking about the church and all that stuff that's been coming out of their mouth. They don't have the blessings of God. They go through all the motions. And it looks good on the outside. And everybody that sees them, that knows them, sees some of the things that they're doing, like, well, everything must be all right. But it ain't. Because the blessings of God's not there. We're going through the motions. I'm not saying we're doing it, but I'm saying there's a lot of people in our day that's doing it. There's a lot of so-called believers that are doing it. They're going through the motions. And their heart's not in it. And they're so far away from God. Some of them are so far away from God that the world is entertaining. That's why our churches are half empty in these things. And Isaiah said, I'm telling you, to the children of Israel, he said, I'm telling you. Micah says, I'm telling you, the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. It's not going to be far away. It's coming. Let's walk in the light of the Lord. Let's get ourselves in tune with God. Let's do the will of God. Do you know how much time we have? As believers tonight, they've been way back to how much time we have? Nobody knows. But I can promise you this, it's very little. It's very little. That's why I stand up here and I preach on, we don't have time to fuss about it.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't have time for it. Time is short. The scripture says redeem the time. Amen. Redeem the time. James says your life is like a vapor.
Right.
Our time is short. We have a lot to accomplish in a very short time to get it done. Let's find ourselves stable with God. Increasing our prayer time. Increase whatever we're doing for the Lord. But in the process of all these things that we're doing, make sure that we're walking in the light of the Lord. This is what God wants me to do. How do you know that? Because I pray. And I pray. And I've read His Word. And He showed me to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. He showed, not just the preacher told me that, but I read it and God spoke to my heart that I need to be faithful to the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. God spoke to my heart about it. I was reading the Bible and God spoke to me about my giving. God loves a cheerful giver.
Right.
I want to be well pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Let's read the Bible and make God speak to our hearts and make sure that we're walking in the light of the Lord so we can receive the blessings of Him. I know too many people. I'm going to try to quit. I'm going to try to unplug here somewhere. I know too many people that live their lives out of the will of God. Some of them are they're running with the world. As I said, a lot of our church folks have left the church and went running with the world. What's the main objective? What's the final aim going to be? As believers, we stand before the Lord. Amen?
Right.
As believers, everyone that names the name of Christ and trusts Christ as Savior, the main objective is, at the end, that we'll be well-pleasing unto the Lord.
Right.
We're going to stand before Him. What about this crowd that's left the church? You better be careful running with that crowd. That'll draw you away.
Yeah.
Amen? Well, you know, we went Sunday morning for Sunday worship, but we didn't go for Sunday school. We didn't go back Sunday night because we really didn't feel like it. You know, we got to work on Monday, so we got to get a rest. We didn't go back on Sunday night, and we don't go on Wednesday night because we're just tired. And better watch that crowd. And we're trying to get you out of the will of God.
Yeah.
Amen? It seems easy. And sometimes it is easy to get out of the will of God. And then there's the other. It's the path that you're thinking you're doing what is right. It seems to be right. I give my money. I put money in an altar blade. What are you doing, brethren?
Right.
It's not the will of God.
Right.
Well, I'm witnessing to those around me, yet you've not lived that before.
Right.
You're out of the will of God. Well, I'm doing the best that I can do. Well, Apostle Paul says, in my flesh, what a no good thing.
Right.
Amen. The best that I can do is to steal the dragons. I pray tonight, and I hope that we can get a hold of this, that if we want the blessings of the Lord upon our life, that we'll make sure, first of all, that we're not running with the world and the pagan crowd and doing pagan things and participating in false religions and all the mess that the world's running with. We don't get entangled with that. And at the same time, on the flip side of that coin, we're not trying to go through the motions and do things that seems to be right, but yet we're still out of the will of God. Is this what God wants you to do? Is this where God wants you? Does God want you to go speak to your neighbor? You better make sure God wants you to go speak to your neighbor before you go speak to your neighbor. If you know for sure that God wants you to go speak to your neighbor about coming to church, and you've prayed about it, God's given you a verse of Scripture, God's settled in your heart, you better go.
Right.
If God don't do that, believe it or not, this may be hard for some people to understand. Believe it or not, there's a time when God takes His hand off people. There's a time God takes His hand off people. What does it say about you, baby? God says, if you continue to read through the Bible, you'll find that God says there's no remedy. I give you prophet after prophet after prophet. Many times, remember He said many times, but these many times I've sent prophets to you. And you would not repent. There comes a time when God says, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm done. There's people around us. Listen, this is hard. I know it's hard to accept. It's hard sometimes to grasp this, but there may be people around us that God's took His hand off.
Yes.
They crossed the lines.
Yes.
Amen? God's done them. Who is that? I don't know who that is. You have to take that up with the Lord. There's been people that I've tried to pray for, and every time I try to pray for them, I felt like I was praying against a brass wall.
Yeah.
It seemed like my prayers didn't get anywhere. And finally, one day, I felt assured as I was reading Scripture. God gave me a verse of Scripture, and I felt sure that it was the Lord telling me, stop.
Right.
There's some people you can't pray for. God's done with
it. Right.
Amen. Preacher, that's hard. Well, you can waste your time down here in Jerusalem where I didn't want you. Or you can go over here where I can use you, where you can witness to somebody where they'll hear you.
Yeah.
And be in the will of God. Does that make sense? I hope it does.
Yes.
I want us to all be in the will of God. I want God to bless your life. I want God to bless my life. I pray that He does every single thing. I want God to bless our church. And the only way God bless our church is if we're, as a group, as a body of believers, if we're in tune and we're doing what God wants us to do.
Right.
Amen. If we're doing what God wants us to do and we're being obedient and we're following His steps, we're not worried about the money. God take care of that.
Yeah.
Amen. We're not worried about the easy pews. God take care of that. Amen. Yeah. Y'all with me?
Amen.
We're not worried about the missionary funds. God take care of that.
Yeah.
Amen. God take care of that. If this is where God wants us, and this is what God wants, and I believe it is.
Amen.
Because of the things that God's accomplished so far.
Right.
We got this little area over here done, and I was given a quote for about $2,000 for parts and supplies, and probably another $400 or $500 for rental equipment. $2,500 roughly. When it's all said and done, it's $1,730.
Woo!
Worry about the money. God will take care of that.
Right.
Amen. Every time they give me a price on something, I praise the Lord. This is your house. I believe you want us to do this. Help us take care of it. I don't expect people to work for free. I really don't, but Brother Kenny donated his. He donated 2 whole days. Work for absolutely nothing. Boys come work with him. Absolutely wouldn't take a dime. I tried. Wouldn't take a dime. You know why that is? Because God can take care of it. If we're in the will of God, being obedient, God will take care of it. God will take care of it. You want blessings of God in your life? Amen. Those that's listening by Marco Polo, sermon audio, you want blessings of God on your life? Get to me. The Bible teaches us to draw nigh to God. And what's that? He'll draw nigh to you. I like it when it snuggles up very close to me.
Okay.
Pass me on the back side of my soul as this sun is going to be all right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the wonderful privilege you've given us to be in your house.